So, Kyle, recently on Gentle Reformation, you wrote an article about the Pope because of his visit here, and thought we might talk about that just a little bit. You got quite a bit of response on that. But before we go there, I just thought I want to see how much you guys really know about the Pope. So I have a little quiz that I found at a particular website. I'm not going to tell you where, so you don't Google it real fast.
Oh no. Yeah, let me get my Google.
Let me just ask you three questions about the Pope.
Three questions. All right.
Okay, these are multiple choice. So, who
All
called
right.
Pope Francis the leading progressive voice in the world today? Was it
Ooh.
President Obama, New York Governor Andrew Cuomo, Vice President Joe Biden, or New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio?
I've got my answer. What do you say, Kyle?
I'm going to say Joe Biden.
Oh, that's what I was going to say. See?
You're both wrong. It was New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio. Sorry.
Okay. All right. All
All
right.
right. Second question.
Wow.
When approached with a question regarding homosexual priests, how did Pope Francis respond? They should be welcomed. They have no place in the church. Who am I to judge? They can be absolved of their sins.
Ooh, I know this
C,
one.
who am I to
It
judge?
is C.
That's what 73 of the respondents said, but it's actually the second answer. They have no place in the church.
Did
Yeah.
he
really? Oh.
Well, then I wonder what that was in reference to, because I thought I just heard that today.
Yeah, I don't. I think. Well, maybe I did see that a lot of
No, I
things that
could
are
be wrong.
attributed to him aren't necessarily things he said.
Okay.
Anyway, I'm not trying
It
to.
would be
I'm
shocking. It
not
would be
trying to
shocking for
defend
him
him.
to
I'm
say
just
that.
trying to.
He's got.
What did Pope Francis, third question, what did Pope Francis call the wage disparity between men and women? Pure scandal, irreversible evil, utter sin, or true misfortune?
I
Want to say
I'm
D, true
guessing.
misfortune.
That's funny. That's what I was going to say, Kyle. It's
You know,
true. I
Austin, you
really
let
was.
me answer first every time, and then you just
Yep,
follow in my
yep.
footsteps. I
Well, it's
understand.
kind of like, how the kids in class would raise their hand and then and the other guy would lag behind, like, "Hey, I know this."
Yes.
But you don't want to really be called on.
Yeah, well, you're both wrong.
See, I mean,
Austin,
see.
if the blind lead the blind, both will fall into a pit.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he did say irreversible. Oh, I'm sorry, pure scandal. He said pure scandal. So,
Which one's B? No. Which letter was that?
oh, never mind.
Uh-oh.
You know what I've done? Wait, I got to go
Uh-oh.
back.
Oh,
On the second one, I was looking at the answer I put down, but it was wrong.
oh. Well,
He about the
do you do this frequently in
homosexuals.
class, Barry?
What's that?
Do you do this frequently in class? Do your students need to come back and make sure that you've graded appropriately?
They probably do. Yeah. Anyway, regarding the homosexuals, he said, "Who am I to judge?"
Ah, there we go. Okay.
So, did one of you answer that?
We
Yeah, we
both
both did.
answered that.
Okay, so you both were right on that one. I'm sorry. So let me make sure
Okay,
of this
I thought
third
it
one.
was. I thought it was.
Pure scandal. What did Pope Francis call the wage disparity between men and women?
Okay,
Pure
so A.
scandal. So you missed out on that one.
Yeah. Well, we got 33%. That's
So
that's
I
not too
guess,
good here.
Kyle, what right do you have to say anything about the Pope?
Well, we know a third of what he said was right.
Well said, Barry.
No, obviously we're jesting just a bit, but the issues you raised, Kyle, and I appreciate it in your article, are very serious in nature, and I guess I would summarize the theme of your article was that there is this claim, and particularly the way he's portrayed in the media, that he's this humble man's humble servant of God. But you called into question some of that in your article. And again, what basis were you doing that by?
Well, I think just the claims that the Roman Catholic Church itself makes. And so it's very important when you deal with Roman Catholics to understand the role of their church's teaching. as handed down by the magisterium, and everything that Catholics teach, all of their official documents, really make some very audacious and lofty claims about the Pope. So much so that if they are not true, which as Protestants we believe they are not true, the man who sits in the office of Pope is anything but a humble man. He exalts himself in many ways above God. And so I guess that was the point of my article, was just how incongruous this actually is to, if a man claims to be Jesus on earth, which essentially is what the Pope does, and he's not, it doesn't matter if he eats with the poor. It doesn't matter if he turns down the limousine so he can ride on the back of a bus. It doesn't matter if he pays his own hotel bill. There's a spirit of arrogance there. And I guess that's what the point of my article was.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, and the thing that strikes me is this would be in many ways exactly the same with Christ, right? With C.S. Lewis's famous, either he's a liar or a lunatic or Lord, right? You can't have, in the case of Christ, a guy going around saying, claiming to be God. You know, it's like, oh, well, sure. I mean, there was some humble things done, but that's a wild claim that's either true or false, right? That has implications.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, a lot of people in today's contemporary culture, there's definitely been a softening of the gap, or at least the way that that's described, that exists between the Roman Catholic Church and Protestants. And I'm not trying to be a curmudgeon. I'm not trying to be an angry Protestant. I am a protesting Protestant. That comes with the name. But when you look at what the official Catholic teaching is on the Pope, I do think it becomes every single Christian to seriously consider that. You know, we're not dealing here with Muhammad. We're not dealing with, we are dealing with a false prophet. But the Roman Catholic Church makes very clear that the Pope is the successor of Peter, who was the chief of the apostles. They believe that the infallibility of Jesus has been imparted to the Pope. They believe that he is the voice of Jesus on earth, that he is the vicar of Christ. They believe that in him is found the visible and true unity of the church. And so Protestants need to take that seriously. I was really struck, if I can just share this briefly, a number of months ago, the amount of Roman Catholic theologians who have vocally said, if the claims of the Pope and the claims of the Roman Catholic Church are not true, then the Roman Catholic Church is the greatest work of Satan on planet Earth. But then they say, but if they are true, then we are the kingdom of Jesus Christ. And that, I think, is the dilemma every Christian is faced with. We can't just be an ostrich and stick our head in the sand. If the Pope is who he says he is, we owe him unswerving allegiance as we owe it to Jesus. But if he's not, then I have to side with those reformers who formerly said, well, he is Antichrist. He is exalting himself above Jesus. So,
yeah, and I mean, as you point out in your article with your quotes from the Catechism and some of the councils of the Catholic Church, I mean, that's the claim that they're making, and he, by entering the office, is also making that he, you know, things like, I'm the pastor of the entire church, I have full, supreme, and universal power over the whole church. I mean, these are terms that the scriptures reserve for Christ and Christ alone. He's the head of the church. And that's what, you know, to be a Protestant believer, to be a Reformed believer, I mean, that's one of our chief confessions, is that Christ is Lord of Lords and he's head over the church. And to put any man in that position, we believe, is very dangerous and really has led to our, you know, the form of church government that we represent, of Presbyterianism, which really seeks to prevent that from occurring in the church, where one man even has rule over a congregation of people, much less the whole church around the world.
Right.
So it's just so important for people not to get caught up in what really amounts to a lot of idolatry by those in the Catholic Church who give this kind of ultimate allegiance to the Pope. But even beyond that, I think the imagery that's used of the Pope in the media that causes so many people to swoon. I don't know if you guys saw the news report of after the Pope spoke to Congress, which in itself is almost strange event occurring.
Yeah.
But afterward, one of the congressmen got his glass of water and took it into his office and drank it and sprinkled some of the water over his family, really believing that this water the Pope had touched was holy water.
Right, and right.
This is, you know, that's just to see that kind of idolatry is sad, and why we need to keep bringing before people that this is not according to the Word of God.
Yeah, I agree totally.
Yep, yep. Because we really are dealing with there's a whole, and this is what I think people miss, is that there is an intricate system of doctrine that has had a very long time to build up to what it is today. And so for those who maybe aren't acquainted with the theology behind it, on the one hand, you can look at someone like the Pope, and he does, in many ways, exhibit humility, right? I mean, there's a softness there, there's a gentleness there. I mean, these things are evident. But it's when that's juxtaposed with this entire system, right, where he can grant indulgences, right? Or, you know, with this idea of with the water, you know, these kinds of things, and people bowing down and you know, they're not worshiping, but it just strikes me as so odd that a man would accept that kind of honor, I guess it is. I mean, I guess in one sense you would do it to a king or something, but Carl Truman talks about, what is it, pastor celebrities, you know, and some of the things that can kind of go askew with, you know, different big names and, you know, in our circles. But man, what do you think Truman would say about the Pope?
Oh, these pastor celebrities are minor leagues.
Yeah, just minor leagues. Yeah. But it just seems like it all hinges on whether or not the claims are true or false.
Yep.
So I'm curious, in your guys' journey, I'm sure along the way, well, I know along the way, you've wrestled with the claims of Rome. I mean, without putting you on the spot too much, what would be one thing that doesn't convince you from the scriptures? I mean, what is it in the scriptures that you see that make you say, I don't see these claims as being true?
I think, honestly, I've never really wrestled with Rome, just from my upbringing and all that. To me, just to look at it from the outside, of course, I've ministered to people. We've had people come into the church from the Catholic Church, so I've seen people make that journey. But in terms of my own personal journey, I guess the thing that just always struck me is the fixation with imagery. And, you know, the crucifix, for instance. And that always struck me as wrong, that it seemed like idolatry to me even before I was a believer. And now that I know the gospel, it is just rank idolatry to put this image of Christ before people. So to me, I've always had this distance from the Catholic faith. Now, I've had a lot of friends who are Catholic, and I feel like I can interact with them and appreciate them as people and some of their regard for things like law and that type of thing. But all in all, just the fact that they're this visible representation of Christianity is just so counter to the scriptures that really emphasize, you know, the hearing of the Word of God and believing by faith in things we cannot see. So that's been my just one thought I would share, I guess.
Yeah. What about you, Kyle?
Yeah, you know, I've wrestled with Roman Catholicism, never as one who's who's convinced, but as one who has wanted to understand Rome on their own claims. And so part of it, not to be a pain here, but part of it would be, well, what part of Roman Catholicism? You know, when you deal with
even the papacy, right?
So
yeah.
I think overall with the papacy or with the Roman Catholic Church, I'm going to make a very controversial statement right now, but it's one I'm willing to stand behind. Has really cinched it for me as I read Catholic authors, as I even look at, you know, some of their commentaries, the Roman Catholic Church is never satisfied with just Jesus. That in so many other ways they need Jesus plus. Whether it's the act of justification, well, I need Jesus, but I also need my grace wrought works to be incorporated into that. Whether it's Jesus as mediator, well, we also need Mary as the mediatrix. They're not satisfied with just Jesus. Even when it comes to the pivotal central aspect of their worship in the Mass, there is so much pomp and pageantry that accompanies the Mass that, you know, so many outward ceremonies that I look at that and I think, you're not satisfied with Jesus. And you know, and then their doctrine of the church and their doctrine that, well, grace comes through the sacraments. And I just, overall, I don't think as a whole, Jesus is sufficient for them.
Mm-hmm.
And that, for
I think that's fair.
That for me is really the big thing is Jesus sufficient or is he not? So I know that's a very controversial statement.
I think it's right. I think it's right. Yeah, sure. Yeah. You know, for myself, I really did wrestle with Rome, particularly in my early 20s. I always look to my wife for dates. She probably would say, no, it was mid-20s. Well, okay, early 20s, mid-20s, something like that. And for me, it was this question of authority. Because, you know, you hear these statements from the Catholic apologists like, oh, look at the fragmentation of the Protestant church. And you know what? And that's true. And it really does weigh, and it ought to weigh on us. Like, man, there's a lot of fragmentation in the church. And you won't find a page in the Bible that has the list of the books that ought to be there, you know, table of contents and, you know, these kinds of arguments. And so it was really the papacy that I was concerned with. And the thing that strikes me is that, and it's something now these many years later, I feel like I have a more mature grasp on, but there's something that happens with systems of doctrine that are foreign to the scriptures, how they operate. People have this a priori concept, this idea that they bring to the scriptures, and then they can find their proof texts that they kind of work, right? It kind of makes sense. But the problem is getting there in the first place. It's like, does it actually come out with all the details? And that's, to me, is the problem with the papacy. And to give some concrete examples, if you take, it would be absolutely astounding to me that if you take something like when Paul meets and calls the Ephesian elders to himself, and remember, he tells them that I have taught you, and I want to warn you that there's going to be wolves that come in your midst, even from amongst your own number. It's like incomprehensible to me that if there was this unifying individual Peter as the first pope, that he wouldn't call, like, there wouldn't be instructions along those lines. In the same way with the pastoral epistles with Timothy. Or you go to 1 Peter, you know, to Peter himself. He appeals as a fellow elder. Granted, he was an apostle, and that afforded him a different kind of authority. But for me... yes, people can go to Matthew 16 and these different passages, and it just feels like you're trying to pull out a truckload of stuff from something that's not really there. But conversely, when you actually then just get a feel for the New Testament and the, I think, utter silence that exists when one would expect to hear a trumpet blasting, if there was this seat that people should be looking to for direction in the future and even direction presently. So that, for me, I just cannot see how they ground their claims. I just can't see it.
Right. I think also in the news that people were being able to be awarded indulgences if they followed the Pope's Twitter feed. You know, if they couldn't make the journey themselves, they could earn some type of merits. And, you know, whether that's actually true or not, that particular point, it just ties back to what you're, the spirit of the New Testament you bring up, things Kyle said is, you know, ultimately there's a denial too by this office of the papacy of the doctrine of justification by faith alone. And so it's really is ultimately the divide still remains. There's still a preaching of a different gospel. And that's why we have to take these opportunities such as this visit presents to us to continue to warn people that the Roman Catholic Church is a false church. We can't, you know, as much as we want to be kind and nice and all that, it's still a false church. It will mislead people. There are many in the Reformed community. I mind just talking here with you men, reminded in the book that Gerstner and Sproul and MacArthur and several men did on justification by faith a number of years ago. There's a warning in the back by Dr. Gerstner against Scott DeHaan, a former student of his. I've known men, was at seminary with a gifted man who ended up going back into the Catholic Church. And so we just need to keep sounding the warning against this anti-Christian, anti-gospel that's represented by this man.